Station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Man, I shot Marvin in the face.
Why the fuck did you do that?
Well, I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident.
Oh, man, I seen some crazy ass shit in my time, but this.
Welcome everybody, this is Roomtone, the show that takes filmmaking's community to your ears. Ruggero, in front of this microphone. It was a little bit of a sunny day, but unpredictable Vancouver broadcasting on unceded masking land here on CIDR Radio 101.9 FM. We're gonna get to our guests right after the soundtrack of Alien. Everybody, enjoy. Ciao a tutti, Room Tone here. We talk movies because we love it. What a guest we have today in the booth with us, ready to share some passion and love for the craft. This is director Chris Hind. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you around here. Passion is the menu of the day for the all filmmakers out there. I'll let you know how to get in touch if you want to reach over here. But first, things first, who are you, Chris?
Oh, such a huge question. I'm a filmmaker, I'm a composer, I'm a scriptwriter, I'm a soccer player, I'm a lover of life, I'm a spiritual man. I could go on and on.
Beautiful, beautiful, nice. Woo, can feel the energy already. Well, we are all tied up here for filmmaking, actually. So I want to ask you, why filmmaking for such a multifaceted personality like yourself? Why filmmaking?
Well, it all kind of just fell into place. I got my start script writing, and then I used to play in bands when I lived in Toronto, and that led into me as a composer. And I did composing for a long, long time, and then decided that maybe I should get out from behind the scenes and get into the limelight and start making my own projects instead of working on other people's projects. And I think it was just a natural progression from accumulating all that knowledge from script writing and composing. I've done some on-set stuff as well, a little bit of location sound.
Awesome.
So yeah, just a natural progression.
Nice. What is the part of filmmaking that you get attracted to the most?
I think it's just being able to combine so many art forms into one passion, right? The music supports whatever the visuals are doing, and the visuals are just, outstanding, beautiful, outrageous, everything, right?
Nice. The way you talk really, really mirrors the way you are coming and getting, touching all these fields and bringing everything together.
Absolutely. I think you kind of just touched on it there or just triggered me. It's as a creative person, sometimes music just isn't enough, or sometimes words just aren't enough. But with filmmaking, it's everything, right?
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Words from Chris over here. Nice. So let's get to the meat. What are you working on right now?
My big project right now is called The Encounter, which is going to be a short documentary. I'm not really sure how long it's going to be yet, because that all depends on editing and how the flow goes. But it's a spiritual, paranormal investigation by myself about a spiritual, paranormal event that happened to me a number of years ago.
Oh, wow.
And the whole gist of the documentary is to tell people what happened to me and then ask them on camera what they think happened to me in their area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So I've interviewed people all over the map. For example, a transpersonal psychologist, the head of UFOBC, various religious leaders, Hindu priest, a Muslim imam, a Christian preacher.
Really exploring all the corners of the room, eh?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, I think they all, as a spiritual guy, I'm not really interested in organized religion, but I think there's some lessons to be learned in every every area.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. So what of those encounters throughout your journey, when did you start with this project here?
Oh, a number of years ago. The actual incident happened in 2000.
Okay.
And I knew immediately that I had to do something creative. Mm. It was just like almost being led that way. And I tried to self-finance it for a long, long time. And then kind of realized as kind of debt accumulated, this maybe isn't the right way to go about it. And I didn't have any guides at the time, right? I was, like I said, I was only into the composing side of things. So I didn't really know what I was doing. But I got a few really great interviews in, and then I left it on the shelf for a while because I had tried for funding with Canada Council and BC Arts Council and various other organizations, I think at the NFB. And everyone seemed interested, but no one was willing to pony up the dough. So I kind of just left it on the shelf for a while. And I'm a kind of fervent believer in everything and everyone has its time.
Yeah.
So I was fine with that. And then I, my friends just encouraged me, and I've got the knowledge now that I just kind of said, well, let's get back to it because I think I'm ready now to finish it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So throughout this journey, here, starting, you know, it's a long journey, but what has been the one thing, apart from the encounter that we're going to reach later, what has been the one thing, if there was one specific thing that filled you up?
I'd have to say the desire in almost everyone to help me.
Nice.
Yeah, the people who I've interviewed have just been, you know, they've given me their right arm if I asked for it, kind of thing, without hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I interview people or tell people about this at a, you know, a socializing event or something like that, invariably 90% of the people I talk to say, oh yeah, my my uncle, one time he had this experience, and it's like so wacky. Like, wow, like this happens all the time. Like, it's not just a particular event that happened to me. And one of the reasons I wanted to make this film is for those people who aren't like me and aren't afraid to, you know, go up against the status quo or just say what happened to them. You know, they want to, they're worried about what the Joneses say and all that kind of stuff, right? I just wanted to, for them to see the film and say, hey, it's okay. You know, it happens to everybody, and you're not a freak, and you're not a weirdo.
This is a great way to open a door, eh?
Absolutely.
To a world that is way, way bigger than what people could even imagine, you know? Because the spirit, especially the you know, talking about spiritual world in quotes, you know, spirituality as an essence, you know, it becomes so delicate, you know, and the line is so thin, and at the same time is blurred. And I believe that that's where you start to notice and embrace the beauty of humanity. Because the fact that we can feel, the fact that we can breathe, you know, it's when we started dancing and when we started singing that we truly understood that we were immortal, you know? And it's that creative spark that is probably right now leading you through this journey to really fuel this spiritual essence, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And your words are very well received. I think my personal feeling spiritually is that we're all born to love. And that is all, right?
This is amazing.
And so this, your last question about, you know, what has it opened up or anything like that, I think it's helping people, not just myself, to open up again and to remember who they are, you know, because, man, this world is messed up, right?
Oh, yeah. We can,
we could go on for days, for days on that. But yeah, it's just, you know, instead of thinking about, you know, what Donald Trump said yesterday or whatever like that, it's just like, well, stop thinking about that world and think about the inner world, because that's the most important one.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah. This is gold from Chris Hine right here. Wow. Well, there is something that I would like to explore before we take a little break. But it's something related to your own past, actually. And what you take from your own past as an artist every day to your normal life. If there is a piece of advice or sort of like a little bit of a condensation of life experience from someone that is as rounded as you for the people out there, that would be amazing.
That's an easy one, actually. Mm. It's just simple. Do you know who Joseph Campbell is?
Leroy de Mille Volte is coming to me in Italian.
Philosopher and historian. He wrote many books, but one was basically on the hero as the archetype.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said this marvelous quote, and I hope I get it right, follow your bliss and the money will come.
Mm.
But further to that, just follow your passion. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, being locked in a 9-to-5 job that you hate, and you hate your coworkers, and you come home and you hate your life, that's not how we were supposed to live. Like I said before, we were brought here to love, and you know, your passion is part of your love, right? Everything is derived from love. There's really no other emotions or any other thing. It's like, if you don't know what your passion is, start trying different things until you find it. And when you find it, you'll know, because it'll just wash over you like warm. Warm liquid gold.
Yeah, amazing, man. This is gonna be an amazing episode, guys. I'm really excited. Woo! We're gonna have to take a little break, and we're gonna catch up here at Room Tone on CITR with Chris Hine. Catch you in a second. Ciao a tutti, everybody. Welcome back. This is the show for the filmmakers out there. Chris, our guest today, chose the soundtrack of Alien for us. I want to ask you, how come the soundtrack of Alien?
Well, I think once I tell my experience, then the audience will have a little bit better idea. But I'm looking for the explanations for what happened to me, and it could be spiritual, it could be alien, it could be who knows
anything
what.
Anything.
It could be me having a seizure and blacking out on the street somewhere. Who knows?
Well, let's dive into that experience. I'm really curious.
All right. Well, this happened, like I said, in 2000, and I was volunteering at the Vancouver Film Festival, which had a theater at the time on Commercial Drive. And I had stayed and watched a horror movie. It was around midnight and was walking home. And over at Commercial Drive, just around 14th and Commercial, is a park called Clark Park, right across from the Croatian Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. And I was walking through the park, beautiful, beautiful, clear night, not a cloud in the sky. I can't emphasize that enough, not a cloud
okay,
in the sky.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
I got about halfway down through the park, and I looked out over the North Shore Mountains. And
over the North Shore Mountain?
Yeah, and I looked up, and there, right in front of the mountains, this mist started to form, and it just got denser and denser and bigger and bigger, and it was so far away, it's hard to estimate how big it was, but I would say probably kilometers wide and kilometers high. Mm-hmm. It was dense and thick, and I couldn't see the mountains through it anymore, and this all happened within like 20 minutes.
Mm.
And so I was like, wow, that's the weirdest weather pattern I've ever seen, and again, I have to emphasize, no other clouds in the sky, just there. And so I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I knew that I should probably get someone to corroborate my story. So I looked mm-hmm. around and nobody's around.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, that's fine. So I kept watching, and the cloud went kind of started to ascend and went up over mm-hmm. the mountains, and it morphed into a beautiful display of green northern lights.
Oh, wow.
Which, by the way, is very rare for Vancouver mm-hmm. anyway. But it was just like, that is the second strangest weather pattern I've ever seen. And so I kept watching, and of course nobody was around to corroborate my story. And right in the same place in front of the mountains, another misty cloud started to form.
Mm-hmm.
Did the same thing. In about 20 minutes, it formed into this huge cloud about 2 kilometers wide and 2 kilometers high. And it got so big and so dense that I couldn't see the northern lights through it mm-hmm. anymore. It was blocking them. And I was like, wow, this is totally amazing. Like,
yeah, wow.
This should be on like some documentary channel or something. Anyway, the cloud then started to move toward me from across mm-hmm. from where the mountains were. And it appeared that it was moving with intelligent design. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was, mm-hmm. it had a mission. And so it came, long story short, it came toward me, and then all of us, at the end of its journey, it was right over top of me. I was right dead center underneath its cloud.
Oh, wow.
And the cloud had changed its shape into the shape of a bell. So this huge, giant bell over top of me, made of cloud.
Wow, a huge, giant bell. And like what happens after that? Like, that is already pretty...
it gets better. So the cloud was hollow on the inside. And on the lower edge of the bell, which would be probably tree-level height, were these misty tentacles that were writhing around.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like squid or octopus-like.
Mm-hmm.
So when I looked up through the top of the bell, in the very top was this circular kind of vortex. So mm-hmm. it was just kind of black and swirling, and there mm-hmm. were a few colored lights in it. And people often ask me at this point, how did I feel?
Well,
you know, and I got to say that I wasn't scared at all. I was just like, what? Because it was right over top of me. I was like, whatever this is, it's for me. So
wow.
This is my experience, and I'm going to enjoy it, and bring yeah. it on, man.
All
bring
right,
it on.
All right, all right.
So whoever it is or whatever it was, they did. So on the inside edge of the bell, the shape appeared, and I can only describe it as like a bird, giant bird with its wings outstretched.
Wow.
But if you know the Zoroastrian religion, they have a symbol called the Faharafar, I think it's called.
Farah?
Yeah, I think Farah. And it's very similar to that. And it was almost like it burned itself into the side of the bell, as if someone branded it, you know, the uh-huh. idea of branding. And as soon as that happened, a word came into my head. It was like my mind all of a sudden became a blank slate and someone wrote angel.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, that's weird.
That is very outside of the typical.
Especially for a non-religious.
Yeah, that is a very different person from the typical walker in the night in the park. Eh?
Exactly. And so as soon as that happened, the bell cloud kind of moved away to the south. And as it moved away, it dissipated into nothing within like a few minutes.
Mm.
And again, there were no clouds in the sky. Unfortunately, there was no one there to corroborate my story.
Mm.
And I was just so excited I practically flew home.
Wow. And like, what is the first thing that you did after that? The day afterwards, like you woke up, what happened?
I wrote everything down. Mm. I wrote everything down so it would be clear in my mind. And I was just, you know, like I said before, I thought I have to do something about this experience because I know it was just for me, but I want to share it. I want to share it somehow creatively.
And wow, tying it back to the short documentary that you're directing, would you actually try to create a recreation of that experience?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, that's already been shot already. Mm. I just need to put the animation with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one shot missing, and that's a drone shot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get a drone shot coming over me as if I'm looking up into at the cloud.
Yeah.
And we'll take that shot there.
Nice.
But yeah, it'll be done with animation. I'm thinking 2D at the moment,
mm-hmm.
Just because of cost. And I think it will mesh with the live action footage together. And we shot all the recreation in daylight, and then we'll turn it into night.
Oh, nice.
In post-production.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. Wow, this sounds like a plan for sure. And what about the interviews? The interviews that you've been basically capturing throughout time right now?
Well, they have been almost as fascinating as the experience itself.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, the organized religions that I have interviewed, except for the dogma of their own religion, they're basically saying the same thing.
Mm.
The Hindu priest, for example, had many options of what might have happened. One was that I stepped between worlds at that particular point in Clark Park, and I was able to see them.
Oh, wow.
Or the Hindus believe that we all come from different planets and we're here to explore and learn. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a pretty cool idea. And that they were just there to say, hey, Chris, you know, we know that you feel like you're a weirdo and you don't fit in with everybody else, but it's okay. It's cool. And by the way,
well, we're all weirdos.
By the way, Ruggiero, I do feel that way. this whole Earth Society thing, I just can't get it.
Yeah, many problems. But hey, it's a good time to be an artist, eh?
Absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, the best time.
The best time for sure. Time to recreate a direction for communities and the society out there. Because I mean, it's pretty fascinating to start to see from the outside, like. Try to isolate yourself from the situation and see all the dynamics that are happening around the world. I mean, of course, there is a lot of suffering and pain, but looking at it as a dynamic on a planet, you know, it's probably the best moment to be here so that we can create a change altogether. And that's where we go back to, for example, your short documentary that tries to raise awareness about these experiences, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, you just have to look historically at where all the most amazing or new direction in art came from, and it's the times of the greatest stress, right? And we are in the time of the greatest stress, probably.
Absolutely.
Right now. But it's also, you know, I don't mean to sound negative or anything like that. It's also a time of great change, right?
Yeah.
And the universe or the creator or whoever you want to call it, even us, maybe we're doing it collectively. We're taking down all the, we're breaking down all the barriers so that everything is being exposed, right? It's almost like we're the ocean and we're washing away the sand to unveil the beauty and the secrets that have been held for a long time, right?
What a metaphor right here, eh? Wow, this is gold over gold over gold. This is some depth over here. And we can't forget depth. We really can't, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been living shallowly for so long.
For so long.
That's why we're in trouble.
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. For the people out there, like, stop a second and meditate over what Chris just said. Because if we all take a step closer to this depth and to this awareness, we can truly reconnect everybody. Because, I mean, we are, it's interesting because we're all connected by our loneliness in a way, but on the other side, that connection can be so strong that it's inevitable to believe that we're bound to other people, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And put down your phone and take a look around, you know, walk somewhere and sit in a cafe and knock your neighbor on the shoulder and say, hey, what are you doing, man? You know, what are you working on?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah? Life is the art of meeting, eh?
Absolutely.
Was there one person that really changed your life?
Oh, definitely not just one person. There have just been so many people who have been wonderful in my life. I'd say the most recent one is you, my friend. You are the most genuine person that I have met in a long, long time. I'm quite serious. You're just so genuine and honest. It's an honor to be here.
These words are wow. I really appreciate these words, but I truly feel that being genuine is the best gift that you can do to the people around you and also to yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Even if it might hurt sometimes, it's okay. It's okay. We're all like this, you know? Like it's part of the game, you know? And you just got to go with the train all the way, never stopping. Absolutely. But really appreciate these words, eh? But,
No worries, man. You know that I'm being truthful and from my heart.
Yeah, it's a feeling. It's a feeling.
Absolutely.
It's a feeling.
Absolutely.
Mutual. Nice. Woo, we're going to take a little break over here and then we're going to catch up through the soundtrack of Alien. You know that this is going to be Room Tone back, so I'll catch up with you in a second.
We all know that the word jazz means many different things to many different people. So check out The Real Deal on The Jazz Show at CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca for live streaming. Yours truly, Gavin Walker, is your host, and I guarantee the straight goods of 3 hours of jazz at its finest. The jazz feature that focuses on a concept, an album, or an individual artist will be heard at the beginning of the show every Monday night right at 9 p.m. after our opening theme and announcement. So come on by and give your ears a musical workout, 9 p.m. Mondays. Don't miss it.
Traditional energy resources are limited. Luckily, it's easy for students like you to conserve energy.
Woke up late for class? Buy some time in the morning by taking a shorter shower. Cut down by 1 minute every day and save enough to fund your daily caffeine fix for over a week. Plus, you save on electricity and water. Install a water-saving showerhead to save even more.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Welcome back, everybody. Room Tone here. We talk movies because we love it. Chris Hind here, director of the short documentary The Encounter, is going to reach you soon, film festivals around you. Now, it's time to get to the pitching. How does that sound for you?
I love to pitch.
All right. So we're going to get to that setup right away. If you're ready to go, I can just make it happen for you, get that clock going, and we have 1 minute. And then here in the booth, I'm actually going to shake my hand when 15 seconds are missing from the last so that you know when to sort of wrap it up, and then we go for it.
Sounds good.
You got it?
I'm ready.
Awesome. All right. We're going to get that clock going. Oh, this is what happens, people, when you pull up the wrong level volume level. No invisible walls over here. No invisible walls. All right, let's get it going. And this is the clock for you. Let's give it a shot.
And go. All right, here we go. Well, The Encounter is pretty well done, so I really don't need anything for that. But I want to shoot a short film next, a 10-minute short film. It's a horror film called Drays. And the script is written, the characters have all been sussed out, the locations are all set to go. And what I'm looking for is a producer, an experienced producer in the horror genre. And the log line for the documentary is the old adage, always read the fine print, has never rung more true when a group of people in a cosmetics focus group learn about animal testing.
Oh.
So it's a very, very out there kind of horror film, but I think it'll have great appeal. So once again, I'm looking for a producer that has lots of experience in the horror genre and can help me get this project off the ground.
Awesome. And that is pretty much it for the clock. And now... Well, that sounds a pretty interesting plan over there, eh? It's your first horror dedicated.
Experience. Yeah. I've been writing for a long time, drama and horror and sci-fi, and The Encounter is a good. It's not my first documentary, but a good step towards moving over to the dramatic world rather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, interesting. Okay, experience after experience, project after project. Nice. So. The last section of this interview is actually going to take place around Proust. And it's basically the Proust questionnaire. And Proust wrote down 35 questions that would believe that would identify someone's true personality.
Okay.
And we're going to go through five of them randomly. And we just take our time and just explore our own ideas, beliefs, emotions.
Sounds like fun.
And the first question that I'm actually going to ask you is, when and where were you the happiest?
I would say that I was the happiest in a place called Lake Lovely Water, which takes about 12 hours to hike to. It's a very secluded spot near Squamish, and it's an alpine lake right on the top of the mountain, so probably like 15 or 2,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, wow.
And it's a real journey to get there. And I just had so many spiritual experiences when I got there. It's, for one thing, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's almost like what I imagine trekking to Mecca would be like.
Okay.
It's like that for the spiritually naturalistically minded. And yeah, it was just wonderful. I often go there when I need to, in my mind, when I need to ground myself. And actually, spiritual things from the lake still come to visit me in my home, and sometimes when I'm sleeping at night.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Crazy.
Very, yeah. But wow, that is... I believe that when we get in touch with nature, we truly remind ourselves how our own inside is wired and shaped. Huh?
Absolutely. And I was there for like 4 or 5 days. As soon as I got home and took a shower, I cried in the shower because I didn't want to be here.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to be there.
So it was a camping move, basically. And just
there's actually a cabin up there that a beautiful cabin, but you can camp there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. It's interesting because I actually had very similar experience spiritually connected with sort of like I wouldn't say call it isolation, but up there in the mountains there is this sort of ritual that always pushes me to climb this mountain and go in the Rifugio de Fe that is basically in the border between Italy and France.
Yes.
And that feeling, that moment when it's so. It's so pure that when the moon comes out, it feels like the sun, you know? And everything is so bright with the moon just there and nothing else.
Absolutely.
You know?
And you go by yourself?
Yeah. It's extremely enjoyable. And then shooting time lapses or exploring just over there, enjoying the richness and at the same time solitude and power of nature, you know?
Yes.
Because it's all one anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So you brought up another good point is the whole thing about isolation and being comfortable with yourself, right? You know, I'm sure everybody has friends where that it's like blah 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 blah. It's just like I like silence because I'm not bragging or anything like that. But if you're comfortable with yourself, I think that's part of the trick, right?
Yeah.
To life is that you need to recharge your batteries alone.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Super tasty over here. Okay, we're going to go to the second question of the Proust questionnaire. And that question is, what is your current state of mind?
Well, I have to say that the past month has been extremely challenging in terms of obstacles. And I don't mean that in a negative sense, because I think we learn when the obstacles are put before us. And there's also a saying that the creator or the universe or God doesn't give us what we're not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my present state of mind would be evolved.
Okay, nice.
I'm learning a great deal about myself and about my own boundaries because I've had some experiences with clients that I work with that have been unsavory, to put it nicely. And disrespectful. So I am all about reclaiming my self-worth and my self-worth boundaries. And that's where I am.
Wow.
I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting to place, you know, place emotions around you, you know. And the idea, well, and same thing, for example, for fear, you know. Many people tend to place fear in front of them where it can stop them, but placing it behind you can give you that extra boost, right? And that's where I'm gonna go with the third question of the Proust questionnaire. What is your greatest fear?
Woo! Okay, you get a gold star for the
okay.
most difficult Proust question you could have asked me.
Yeah, it's not easy, but I asked them to the people that I know.
This is a great question. This is a great question. That would be... I have such high expectations and hopes of myself, you know, and this brings in the evolution question as well. I would be fearful that I never got to the point where I wanted to get to. You know, I've always been a late bloomer in things. Like, film is my second career. I had a career as an environmental scientist in an earlier life.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just feel that I am evolving and pushing. And you asked me earlier about all my different aspects of filmmaking and how it came to film. And, you know, like people like Clint Eastwood and John Carpenter, two of my favorite directors, because they write, they score, they act, they direct, they do everything, right? So if I never got, my fear would be if I never got to the place as a feature film director.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that's it.
Okay, interesting. Okay, it's very fascinating, the aspect of, you know, environmental scientist layer of yours. It's something that many people, you know, might not even see coming, because, you know, such a rounded artist, you know. So what do you take from the sciences, actually, to the arts?
Well, great question. I have never really given up my environmentalism. Mm-hmm. I just weave it into my creative expression. Most of my film scripts, for example, my feature film scripts, are about either a dystopian Earth where things have gone horribly wrong.
Okay.
Or one script called Interface is about a scientist who creates a computer interface which allows him to speak to orcas and orcas to speak to humans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's never gone away. I just have kind of reorganized it into my life, if you will.
Man, what happens in that script? I want to know, hey? Oh,
good.
Man. Oh, man.
Well, you can see the film, hopefully, and you'll find out.
Holy moly, Interface. Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I believe that actually some animals are able to communicate even better than us, eh?
Oh, I would think so, especially orcas. Mm. They've just had so many hundreds of thousands of years to evolve and evolve their language, right? You know, some people think that their echolocation, they can even see emotion.
Mm.
So, you know, and their brains are bigger than ours. So if that's any indication of intelligence or evolution, then they're way ahead of us.
What would you do if you could actually see emotions?
I have to say, I don't really need to, because I feel that I am kind of like a natural empath anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a very good reader of people, and I don't think it would help me that much. But I think it would be a wonderful thing for humans to have, because, you know, we could immediately see when
someone's
had some black color and some dark brown, you know. And, well, I guess I'll stay away from Frank today.
It's probably our journey as human beings to be able to see emotions, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you and I, we're reading each other right now with our auras and thing, right? We're totally intertwined right now. And I don't think people realize that that's happening all the time. We are totally, you know, touchy-feely with our auras and other senses that we have forgotten about. You know, maybe we're not evolving towards that. Maybe we're just rediscovering what we used to be able to do.
That sounds very familiar as well, because in the history there have been many aspects of history that have been enforcing what you just said, you know, and we're just constantly relearning. I mean, life is like an economy, right? It goes up and down, you know? So we might be learning as well, we might be de-learning some stuff. De-learning and relearning, and it's all a curve.
Yeah, well said. Well said, my friend.
It becomes very, very fascinating. Okay, fourth question of the Proust questionnaire.
Woo!
What is your most treasured possession?
Wow. My most treasured possession. I have a lot of treasured possessions. Let me just narrow it down. Nothing came out right at the beginning there.
No hurry at all.
I have a little shrine that I've set up in my home where I have things that I've collected in nature and things like that. Is there anything there that would be it?
It might not be a possession, like a, maybe non, it doesn't have to be a physical thing itself. We can bend the question a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's really helped me narrow things down. Mm. I'm going to have to say that the experience of the encounter would be what else in my lifetime could be more precious, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
There are many, many, many people out there I've been hearing. They said the most beautiful moments of your life, you will experience them on your own, just on your own. And that is thoughtful, you know. It makes you think, it makes you believe, it makes you feel as well for all the people that you love and care in this planet, you know. And
yes,
you just hope the best castle of cards within, you know. It's all a castle of cards, you know. Sometimes it falls, you gotta put it back up, a win comes.
Absolutely. We're playing a game, man. Playing a game.
This is indeed a game. Now, are we the player or are we the played? That's the big question, I believe. Yeah.
Woo. All right. That's a good question.
Okay, we started with happiness with the Proust questionnaire, and we're gonna end with happiness. And I'll ask you, what is your idea of perfect happiness?
Oh, enjoying and experiencing every millisecond as if it were your last. I think as humans, it's natural for us, and particularly in the society and this very heavy three-dimensional world that we've created for ourselves, to get lost and forget about the most important things. So enjoying everything, and like you just said earlier, it's all about our experience, right? It's not really important what everyone else is doing. It's up to us, and if we're enjoying it, and enjoyment can come, and appreciation and beauty can come from so many different things. Mm-hmm. Remember in that film, what's it called? Something with where the plastic bag was floating in the air around the garage. American Beauty.
Let it out, man. Let it out.
And the young kid was just like, that was some of the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. And I mean, how many things have you just personally noticed, you know, on a walk to the bus stop or something like that? It might be a child giving someone on the street a burger that they bought for them or something like that, or even something even less than that, you know, just someone helping an old lady up onto the bus or whatever. But just trying to live each moment to its fullest and like it was the last moment, because you know time is just an illusion. And
high five in the booth, man. This
now,
is my language,
now is where
man.
It's at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's very interesting to get to tackle and explore these corners, eh? Because the more I go ahead, the more I notice that people have a tendency towards love, and sometimes the problem is in society is to communicate that intention, you know. And it's almost like if love is the ultimate boundary, the ultimate layer, it's all at the end of the whole spectrum. There is nothing else behind love, and hate and sadness and everything is just in front, but it's just channeled and communicated in a different way.
Absolutely.
And when we get to that, you know, like, what do you think that society could do to pierce through all the layers and reach a common state of love?
Wasn't it Timothy Leary or someone like that who said, you know, did have that expression like drop out and all that kind of stuff? Do you remember that? It's a long time ago. That's like in the 60s. Anyway, I'll explain it. It's like I was saying before, don't get caught up in things that don't really concern your own life. Like I mentioned Donald Trump or social media or something like that. We need to be more self-aware. I think that's the big thing. And how much in your own life can you do to make the world a better place? That doesn't have to be, you know, going out in the front lines and risking your life, like at the pipeline or something like that. It could be just a simple thing, you know, like even using 100% recycled toilet paper, for instance. Like if we all did that, you know, how many trees we'd save?
Yeah, oh my God. True, eh?
Mm-hmm. Just the little things like that. So just be self-aware and try and educate yourself. You know, I'm going on a little tangent here. But
let's go.
But the media, right? 5 or 6 major multinationals own the media. Like, how can there be true reporting?
Yeah. That
we've totally lost the ability to be investigative journalists. Mm. So if you're still trusting what you hear on the radio, not so much CITR. plug there. But like the major news channels and papers and stuff like that, if you're still believing the stuff that they're throwing at you, you need to have a look in the mirror because it's all lies. It's all lies.
Too many filters, eh?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to ask you one thing for the people out there. How can people reach you?
Oh, I have a number of websites. Mm-hmm.
I can post them in the website. I can put the links down.
Yes, yes. I have my regular personal Facebook account. I have the Encounter Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I have a website called just chrishine.com.
Perfect.
You can hear my music on SoundCloud at Chris Hyand Entertainment.
Okay.
I'm on LinkedIn.
We're going to make a move and list to put some links
right
in the description.
Yeah,
that's going to be the move. Before we wrap this up, what is your advice to the filmmakers out there in the process of finishing and telling a story?
Oh, well, I have a number of things that I'd like to advise. One is to never give up. As I mentioned with the Encounter, I had short periods of time where I didn't put the project on the shelf. Don't let money be a hindrance to your creativity, because there are so many people. We just talked about connectivity and making connections that want to help you succeed, that want to work on your project for little or no money. You know, I'm all for paying artists what they deserve. But when you're first starting out making your first film, and no one's holding a gun to anybody's head, they want to help you, right? They want to help you. There's so many people out there. Ruggiero and I met at Raindance, Booze and Smooze. And just so many wonderful people out there. So many people have helped me there with my documentary and offering help and assistance. Don't ever give up. Keep following your passion. What else did I want to say? I think those are the biggies.
Yeah, this is amazing. This is gold. This is gold and passion channeled through the microphones, all spread all over the place out there. This is amazing. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up. Well, this is basically Room Tone, guys. If you are a filmmaker, storyteller, director, producer, production designer, cinematographer, editor, whoever in the industry, and you have passion to share, just send us an email at listentoroomtone@gmail.com. I'm Ruggiero, and we're pretty much going to reach out next Wednesday, every week at 2 here at CITR. And now, the soundtrack chosen by our guest, Chris Hyand. This is Alien. Enjoy.
Alien soundtrack. How about that? Thanks to Ruggiero for Room Tone. A new program here at CITR. It's been going on for a couple months about filmmakers. And Alien, my top five films of all time, I'd say. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Fun Cedar Musqueam Territory here at the University of British Columbia in Canada. My name's Andy Resto, and it's a regular